We're doing our class on the Jewish home, and tonight we're going to discuss I love you, you love me, but do I know what you want from me, and do you know what I want from you? And before we discuss that, we have to have a short class on bashfulness. Chazal say that in part of what happened after eating from the forbidden fruit is that there became a division and a difference in the way men and women talk and think. And the pasuk calls it Ve'lishech teshukateich. You will have tremendous desire for your husband. V'hu yimshol bach. And he's going to be in charge of you. Why is he in charge of you? You don't own your wife. What does that mean, he's in charge of you? So Chazal say there's a difference between the communication of a man and a woman. Elishech teshukateich, Chazal understood that to be a curse. You will desire your husband is a curse. Why is it a curse? What's bad about desiring your husband? Chazal taught us that it means that women walk around with desires that are not spelled out. When the pasuk says you will desire your husband, the pasuk is saying you will have desires that you will not be articulating. You will walk around with this constant frustration. Why doesn't he know what I want? And I want him to know what I want. And I want him to give me what I want. Now, what's the flip side of that? What happens when a wife comes to her husband and says, well, why didn't you? So what does the husband answer? Well, why didn't you tell me you wanted that? So we have a mind-boggling medrash in this week's parsha. The medrash says that Rachel tells Yaakov, take another wife. Right? Rachel comes to Yaakov and says, give me children or I'm dead. My life is worthless. What does Yaakov answer her? My God, do I control whether you'll have kids or not? God granted me children. Obviously, God has an issue with you. You don't have children. What do you want from me? So what does the Medrash say? Is that the way to answer a barren woman? His wife comes and shares her pain with him, and he answers her like that. Pause. Would any of us answer differently? A woman comes to you and says, give me kids or I'm dead. What do you want from me? What do you want? Right? What did I do? So she's yelling at you, and Chazal expected you to understand it differently. But what's mind-boggling is the continuation of the Medrash. The Medrash says, Yaakov was just like Avram. And the Yafei Torah on that Medrash explains that when Sarah told Avram, take Hagar, you can't have kids from me, so take Hagar. What Sarah wanted Avram to answer was, no way, I'm not taking any woman but you. Boom. I would never dare say such a thing. But the Yafei Torah says, that's what the Medrash is telling you, that Yaakov is like Avram Avinu. So, wait, how am I supposed to be married? My wife tells me to do something, and I'm supposed to know to say no. So there's something else at play here. So we come back to square one. Ve'elishech teshukateich. Chazal said, it's a curse. You will have desires, and you won't express them overtly. And you're going to walk around with those desires in your heart, waiting for your husband to know what you want, wishing that he knew what you want, and you won't spell it out. So there's this constant difference in communication between men and women that men will often get very upset about. If that's what you wanted, why didn't you tell me? You call up your wife and you say, is it okay if I stay late at work tonight? There's a project I'd really like to finish. And she says, okay. You say, thank you, I'll see you later, and hang up. You come home and she's seething. You go, what are you upset about? She goes, oh, nothing. You go, what do you mean nothing? You're upset. What are you upset about? And she goes, did I say I was upset? Oh, no, you didn't say you were upset. No, you didn't say it, I know. But wait a second. There's nothing wrong. You could leave me stranded here in the house till 12 o'clock at night. It's okay, so what if we got married? I could live alone half the nights. Half the nights? This is the first time I ever did this. That's okay, I understand. Wait a second, but I asked you first. We discussed it. Right. We discussed it. That's called discussing it. Call me up and have a 2-second conversation and let me know, and that's called discussing it. Wait, but I didn't let you know. I asked you, is it okay? And you said yes. And then I went on with the work. You wanted me to spend the next half hour talking to you and not get the work done and then have to come home a half hour later? So she goes, yeah, I want you to spend the next half hour talking to me. Right, you're doing me the favor. You don't have to do me favors anymore. It's fine. Don't talk to me. Go to sleep. You must be very tired. Wait, so then the man gets all ticked. Why is she doing this to me? Why is she saying it this way? Wait a second. What am I supposed to do? They taught me in marriage class. I'm supposed to call home. I did call home. What am I doing wrong? What's she doing wrong? Why is she so complicated? Why can't she just tell me what she wants? I asked her. Ah, da 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 da. That's what we just discussed. That's how they are wired. It's not a blessing, and it's not something that they can overcome. It's not. They're complicated. And we shouldn't be frustrated by it. Ah, but it's frustrating. Okay. It's something to learn to work with. Yeah. You just went to this class, so that's step one. Give me just a second. I just left my kids at a bus stop, and I have to make sure they got home. Okay, onward. The first step is the realization that this is normal. And she cannot be different. The second we can get it through our heads that she cannot be different, and no one else's wife is any different either, and it doesn't exist anything different, that's the first step in most issues in marriage. The first step is to be able to look at her and say, you're perfect, and mean it. When deep down inside you're thinking, So don't think, That's what Hashem knew was good for us. So we are simple and they're sophisticated. We are straightforward and they are not. And Chazal say it's not a blessing for them. It's not fun for them. It's a reality for them. So that means that we have to learn a different modus operandi. We have to work differently. We had PTA last night. So I had a few friends who showed up to PTA. But I went with my wife, so I wasn't interested in talking to them. So one of them comes over and says hi. I say hi and I walk away. So my wife said, you can just do that? You can just say hi to a friend and walk away? I said, yeah, I'm not interested in talking to him now. I talked to him on the bus, I talked to him on the phone, I talked to him other times. Now I'm not talking to him. So I said, yeah, with women that wouldn't go that way. That would be like really rude. And he understood, like, hi, and that's it. I'm not talking now. It's not, yeah, we'll talk a different time. Yeah, you guys all understand that. You wouldn't be offended. We end class, sometimes I have to run. I say, we'll talk, goodbye. It's offensive. Between guys, it's not offensive. But girls, oh my gosh, you must be really upset at her if you didn't talk to her for 20 minutes to tell her that you can't talk to her right now. It's not right. Totally different system. And it's not a blessing. Now we don't have to explain it to them that it's not a blessing because they don't know any other life. But they do have an expectation that we should know what they want. Ve'elisheich teshukateich. Your desire revolves around him. It's not only in a physical sense, it's in many senses. Can you know what I want? Can you help me connect to what I want? Can you be attuned to me? Can you spend time with me and talk to me? And one of our weaknesses as men is that we don't know how to be men. And when we do know how to be men, it's at the wrong place at the wrong time. Example. This is a really sad example. There was a couple who was bargaining about an apartment. And the landlord, I was there a little bit as a translator, the tenants, I was friends with both sides, so I couldn't take sides. All I had to do was translate. But I saw the following discourse going on. The landlord said to the tenants, "This is the apartment not furnished." The tenant said, "We want the apartment, we need furniture." The landlord said, "I'm willing to give you the apartment and give you the first month's rent to buy furniture, but on condition that we up the rent by 200 shekel a month. But, I'm going to give you 200 shekel more the first month. I'm giving you the whole first month's rent to buy furniture. And I'll cover the difference for the first year between the rent that you would have paid at the price we had agreed on and the new price. So for the first year, you're getting it no higher price." The husband goes, "Why is it so convoluted?" The wife goes, "Why can't we just stick to the original price?" The landlord goes, "I want the bank to see that I have a check coming into my account that's 200 shekel higher every month. It gives me better bank rating. But you won't lose a penny by it. I will cover your whole expenses up front. You won't lose a cent." The husband goes, "This is too convoluted. Nothing. We're paying the original price and not a penny more. And that's it. Let's close the contract." The wife goes, He goes, "Nothing to talk about. We're closing the contract." And I'm sitting there, "You just lost a whole month's rent. They were ready to give you a whole month's rent free. What are you fighting for? Nothing to talk about." Now he's the man. He decided. I say to the wife, "Am I supposed to translate?" She said, "He said, that's the way it is. Finished. No more haggling. We're closing the deal now." And I'm sitting there thinking, the whole conversation was going on. You guys wanted to get furniture. He was willing to give you the money for furniture. You could have haggled and changed the price. Might have agreed to it, but you didn't. You said, no nonsense. We're closing the deal. Okay, the man won. He got what he wanted. He paid an extra month's rent. He just lost a month's rent. He just paid the extra month's rent. Now, you'd be surprised at how many times men are like that. They call the shots, usually at the wrong time, at the wrong place, to their own detriment. Where should we call the shots? Where we don't want to call the shots. Your wife asks you, "Do you want sweet and sour chicken this Shabbos? Or do you want schnitzel this Shabbos?" And you couldn't care less. The last thing you want to do is have a conversation about what type of chicken you want this Shabbos. When you get to the Shabbos table, you will have a preference. But right now, you don't want to discuss it. It's Tuesday night. Leave me alone. Right? Right? And your wife is begging you to be a man. Give me an answer. "We're going out on the date tomorrow night. Do you want me to wear blue or black?" And you're looking at her and you're thinking, like, "I won't notice either way." But she wants you to be a man. Be decisive. And you're standing there thinking, "What does your blue dress look like? What does your black dress? You have blue and black?" Okay. Okay, I believe you. Yes. Blue, black. And you're trying to take her seriously. But for her, it's very serious. She's asking you to be decisive. She's having a hard time knowing what you want. She wants to match herself to you. And here suddenly men shy away from being the man of the house. Suddenly it's you decide. Whatever you decide is perfectly fine. But she asked you to decide. And most of the times when women ask men to decide, they run away from it. "Leave me alone." A woman will ask her husband, "Which class do you think I should take? Which class do you think we should sign up the kids for? Will our daughter enjoy learning guitar better or piano better?" And then she starts discussing with you. "We don't own a piano, but the neighbor said she can play on their piano. But if she goes to play by the neighbor's piano, she'll spend her free time by the neighbor's instead of being at home." And you're sitting there trying to be serious about it, and you really are thinking, "Why can't you just decide? Why do I have to be a part of this? You're a parent. Wait, she wants your input." She's asking you. Most of the time when women really ask us for our input and our decision or to be a man, that's when we run away from it. And when they want to talk to us and don't decide for me, that's when we decide for them. So, couple got engaged and they needed time to prepare for the wedding. And the girl had her job. So the guy comes in and tells her, "You're going to go and tell your boss that you need 3 days off of work and he's going to give you 3 days off of work because you're a good worker. And if he doesn't give you 3 days off work, you're leaving the job. So she says, you know, it's not so easy to get a different job. And I'm not sure he's going to give me those 3 days. And he goes, no, but there's no reason you shouldn't do that. And she says, I don't think it's such a good idea. Let's think about it. And he goes, no, that's the way to go. And she says, I'm not sure. And she doesn't want to fight him the way women do. She says, let me find the right time to talk to him. So she pushes it off. So he storms into his own boss and says, I'm taking the week off. I just got engaged. I need time to get things ready. And his boss says, okay, just don't come back. And he lost his job. True story. And then he comes and says she should say the same thing to her boss. Wait, why is that right? Why not talk to her? Most of the time, when we're so adamant and so certain, it's because we're going headstrong and down the wrong path. Down a path that if we'd only be open enough to listen to them, then we'd really resolve things better. And we have this funny tendency. On the things they want to talk to us about, we're really not interested in talking to them about that. And the things we want to talk to them about, so then they're not so interested or they take it to side tracks. So we're going to start with step one. We said, I love you, you love me. But do we know how to love one another? So our first point is, specifically, where our tendency is to react quickly and decisively, those are the places we should take a step back, be quiet, and listen and discuss. We have this innate nature to get it wrong, to be decisive where they don't want us to be decisive, and to run away from giving a decision where they do want the decision. Basically, the things that interest them, that we should help them reach a decision, such as, do you think that tomorrow I should go shopping because it might rain? But on the other hand, if I don't go tomorrow, then all week I won't have a chance. And then next week we had said we would take the one day I have off to go and look at the different tiles for the bathroom. So if I push it off, it'll be in 3 weeks, 2-3 weeks, and by then who knows what the weather's going to be like. And you're sitting there thinking, you need me to decide how you're going to factor in the weather and when you're going to do your shop. Leave me alone. No, leave me alone. She's asking you to be a part of her life. Stop. She asked you for help. She wants your opinion. She wants to think it through with you. She wants to discuss it with you. She's having a hard time reaching a conclusion. This is where you should be the man of the house. Help her reach a decision. And usually, the smart thing is not to come out and say, do X. That's not the smart thing. Again, man's nature. Let's be decisive. Go. It'll work itself out. Then she spends the whole day sitting on the bus because it's raining. By the time she gets to the store, she has to get back home. She doesn't get to do her shop. And she comes back home and says, that wasn't such a good decision. You know, but I was wondering why you said that, because I was also thinking that in all the traffic, because of the bad weather, I might not have any time to do anything in the store. And you're looking at her and thinking, if you thought that, why didn't you say that? You just asked me, should I go tomorrow or not? You didn't sort of tell me that important factor. So, of course, I went based on what you told me, and I messed up your day for you. And then you feel stupid. And then you end up saying, just don't ask me, okay? You decide for yourself. You're a big girl. If you're not sure how to run your day, you can run your day. I don't ask you how to run my day. Why should I run your day? It doesn't work that way. She's asking you to be the man of the house. She's asking you to be her partner. She's not asking you to come in and say, bottom line, do X. She's asking you, listen to me. Think with me. You don't have the patience for it? Get the patience for it. I want you to help me reach a decision. I don't need you to tell me what to do. I need you to think with me and help me come to a conclusive decision. And then I'll be very happy with the decision. Again, it's not in our nature, but it is one of the key factors to building a relationship. It is about being able to converse with them on what's important to them. So we discussed tonight, Hashem created them that they don't ask overtly what they want. They want us to figure out what they want. We have to be attuned to it. We have to be prepared to have conversations and things that are important to them. Even if it's an indecisiveness that we don't necessarily have the patience for, we have to learn to have the patience for it. And we will have to pick up here, Bezat Hashem, next week.